Anyway, it's good to see you. Let me kind of tell you what's going on with this. Carrie and I are going to be bringing 8 lessons for the next 8 weeks, 8 lessons out of 2 Peter. I'm going to do 4 and Carrie will do 4. So this morning we're going to start the first lesson, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we begin that. So kind of give you an idea of where we're headed with things. So we have 8 weeks of you knowing where we're headed. This morning, I titled simply the lesson, Are You Growing Spiritually? Now here's the thing. To every one of us in here this morning, you're either growing spiritually or you're dying. And growing spiritually is not just about having head knowledge or learning something new. It's how does God relate in your life? He's either relating and changing you, or He's not relating and you're dying. You die too long and you'll lose out. Peter begins this book in 2 Peter 1. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon Peter. Who is he? This is his relationship to Jesus. He's a bondservant of Jesus and he's an apostle. So both ways, he's not unknown. We know him well. He identifies right off the bat, verse 2, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what they had received, the same kind of faith. When you pay attention to the apostles, when you pay attention to these writers, you know what you should gain and I should gain? The same kind of faith. They didn't go into teaching 600-700 different things. No, Peter being an apostle, he got his things from Jesus. And he taught about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you know what that should bring about? Unity and oneness. To those who receive the same kind of faith as ours. Now let's continue on as we go. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Did you get that? Grace and peace multiplied. When you multiply something, it gets greater and greater. Is there some here this morning that may be lacking peace? Do you need more peace? What about the working of the grace of God within your difficulties? You need that? Well, it's available to be multiplied. And notice at the end of verse 2 how? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. The more you gain insight to what God's righteousness is and the truth of His righteousness, the more God's grace, the more of God's peace begins to reign in your life. As you grow in knowledge, grace and peace begin to grow in you. That's the only way you're going to get there. So if you're a person that today, oh, I need more peace, you need some knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Continue on. Verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. The divine power of God, He said, has done what? It has granted us everything pertaining to life and to godliness. You know what you have as we have the scripture before us today? You know what you have with this? You have the promises of God. Everything you need for life. Everything you need to be godly. It's there. It's available. God granted it. He's released it. You and I want to find out situations in our lives. How can I do this? How do I get through that? Right here. God's already let it go. And notice he says there in verse 3, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. You know what? The more you start gaining about the knowledge, the true knowledge of God, you start understanding what life is about. And as you understand what life is about, it leads you into being more godly. And all God's already given it and released it to let it go. The only question is, are we going to grab a hold of it? That's really what's at stake here. Verse 4. For by these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. He has granted to us, because of everything for life and godliness, he's granted to us everything from his magnificent promises to do what? So that you can become a partaker, a sharer in the divine nature of God. Many times we're not doing a lot of sharing in God's nature. God said, I'm going to give it to you. I've already granted it that you can share in my divine nature. And it came by this, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lusts. You know what corrupted us? Our lusts. You see, whenever you have our lusts, our desires, you know what lusts do to a person? It makes them me-centered. All they think about is how everything affects them. Think of nobody else. We've escaped that corruption because of knowledge of Jesus, because of the righteousness of God. And because we've escaped that, he's granted us that we can move forward in these magnificent promises so we can share in his divine nature. You ever thought about sharing in the nature of God? Being who he is and what he is? God says, I've already granted it to you. The only question is, will we take advantage of what he's granted? We've escaped the world by our lusts. Look at verse 5. Now for this very reason, for all these things, what God's granted, what God's released, everything to life and godliness, to share in his divine nature, because of these things, now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, what does it take on my part? What is he calling me and you to do? You have any faith in God? And I'm not asking, oh, I believe in God. I'm talking about a genuine faith that you are partaking in his nature, that you're reaching out into the things of God, applying all diligence. Faith has to mean something. It's not just an intellect. It's about, I'm going to grab a hold of the things of God. He said, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Now what he's going to do, he's going to go through 7 things that you and I need to apply in our faith and be diligent about it. Because you see, each one of these are about God's divine nature. He's allowing us to share in it. You have to have some diligence in your faith. And the first thing that you have to do and understand is moral excellence. And what's amazing, each one of these elements that he's going to talk about in our faith, one grows into the next, will grow into the next. And when we read these things and go through them, you ought to be able to sit there and look and say, huh, this is right where I am now. And there's a reason that you're right there rather than moving forward. You've got to grow spiritually. Verse 5 again. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. moral excellence. Some versions say virtue. Good translation. There's other versions that uses the word goodness. That is not a good translation of virtue or moral excellence. It's not about just goodness. Moral excellence. What is that? We don't use the terms a lot. From where you are now, will you be diligent and that in every situation you encounter, every situation, will you do what is right according to God? You can't slight this. It's doing the right things no matter what. You know, we've come up on a tax season. A lot of people, well, if I don't report this, if I don't do this, it's okay. They'll never know. What's morally excellent about that? God is a morally excellent God. And when you encounter things, you've got to do what is right. Give you a quick illustration of it. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 31, Paul pens these words, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, slander, be put away from you along with all malice." He uses one little word, let. Let. You have a problem with anger? You have a problem with slander where you speak evil of another person behind their back? You have a problem with wrath where you just fly off the handle easily? Let. Will you allow those to be put away? That's being morally excellent. Because sometimes when we get angry, what do a lot of people do? Here comes profanity. What's morally excellent about using profanity? Bad words. There's nothing good. God's not like that. I've already granted you to participate in my divine nature. I've given you everything for life and godliness. Will you be diligent in your faith and stop allowing these things to happen in your life? You know, one of the things there in Ephesians 4, he uses the word clamor. Clamor is where you complain how you've been mistreated, how someone did you dirty. Clamor and slander. Put those things away from you. Practice moral excellence. Sometimes on the job, you may be faced with a situation and they want you to cheat a little bit. They want you to do something wrong. Who are we? We're the people of God. You want to grow into the nature of God and share in His divine nature? You've got to do what is right according to His righteousness. And His righteousness isn't about doing things wrong or trying to cheat a system. That's not righteousness. The first thing you must supply in your faith is moral excellence. If you and I aren't interested in doing things morally right, guess what? You're dying. He wants us to grow. And you can't grow without having your faith supplied with some moral excellence. And notice where he leads from there. Look at verse 5 here. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge." You know what being morally excellent, you know what it'll take you into? Knowledge of what God is like. Doing the right thing. Did Jesus always do what was right? Was it always pleasant for Him from other people? No, but you know what? He had knowledge of what God is like. You and I cannot gain any knowledge, any insight to the divine nature of God if we aren't willing to supply moral excellence. That's why some people for years and years and years in their life, they never seem to go forward very much. Their lives aren't moving very much. They're stuck in the same old place. And you know where it began? Moral excellence. Moral excellence springboard into knowledge of God. You ever have someone that hurt you badly, hurt your feelings badly, maybe took advantage of you, and you're so upset about it, and you won't forgive? That person has no knowledge of what God is like. Forgiveness, when you forgive people, God said, I forgave you. See, when you supply moral excellence and forgive, now God's saying, now you know how I feel. That's what I'm like. Now I'm gaining knowledge of God. Let's keep it going. Verse 6, and in your knowledge, self-control. Where does knowledge take you, springboard next? Into some self-control. Where you start getting your life under control and stop letting it just go all sorts of certain ways. Too many people are listening to the world's advice out there of our, you know, in our brethren. They're listening to what everybody says. No, we can share in the divine nature of God. God's already granted that. And you supply moral excellence. You start gaining knowledge of what life and godliness is about. And now, your life starts coming under control. You get control of things in your life. What to do and what not to do. Some people have no control over anything. They just kind of go crazy. You know, they see something they want, they go get it. They'll do anything they can to get that. Costs them everything because they're still being controlled by their lusts. Moral excellence to knowledge to self-control. Now when you start getting control of your life and yourself, where does that lead us? Verse 6, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. The ability to endure difficult situations. Persevere. A lot of times when people are going through difficulties, they want to quit. Did Jesus have some difficulties to endure? Did he have to persevere that trial and his cross? See, you can't get any perseverance, some enduring things, until you start having some self-control, till you have some knowledge of God, till you supply moral excellence. And now you get down here to perseverance. Sometimes things aren't easy, but you have to persevere. You know, I hear people say, well, life's not fair. It's not intended to be fair, but God's fair. God's already granted you to share in my nature, he said. It's yours for the taking. The question is, will you supply these things in your life so you can start gaining spiritually? So you get spiritual insight to how things work. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. You know, a lot of times people make statements, boy, they acted ungodly. What do we mean by that? When someone's acting ungodly, they're sure not acting a whole lot godlike. They're sure not acting according to the righteousness of God. You know what? Until you start persevering in difficulties, until you start practicing self-control, until you start gaining knowledge of what God is like, and it starts with moral excellence, you'll never get into acting in a godly life. You'll act ungodly in situations. That's not spiritual growth. You see, godliness comes when you do these other things previous. And he says, look at verse 7. And in godliness, brotherly kindness. You know, there's some people that seem to have very little concern about the people of God. Brotherly. and especially kindness. Some people are rude, don't think anything about the people that are sitting next to you. That person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, Jesus gave His life for them. His blood covers them. And you need to have some brotherly kindness toward them, because Jesus calls us brethren. Hebrews 2 tells us. He says, hello, brother. Have some kindness toward your brothers and sisters. And then when you start doing that, look at the next words. Verse 7, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. The last element to supply in my faith is love, agape, where you'll sacrifice on behalf of others. Sometimes people don't realize, look how far down the list love is. It's the last thing. If a person's not growing spiritually in these other things, they'll never get to agape love like God loves. They'll never sacrifice for other people, for anyone. Love is way down on the list. And you say, well, you know what? I wish I had better control in my life. I wish I didn't fly off so easily anger. I wish I didn't use profanity. I wish I didn't take advantage of others. How's your moral excellence? It started right there. And if you never get past doing what is right in the eyes of God, you'll never get to love, where you sacrifice for your brothers and sisters. You'll never get to that point. Peter said, this is where you ought to be striving for in your faith. This is what faith should be doing in you. These are how you get away from who you were to who you should be. This is how to grow spiritually. Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of Jesus our Lord. If they're yours, these qualities of faith, and they're increasing, you know what you'll be guaranteed at? You won't be useless. Sometimes people will say, well, I feel useless. No, you're not useless. Uselessness is the idea of being idle, to be sitting and not participating. That's uselessness. You're not helping anything or anyone. You're not helping the body of Christ grow into the things of God. That if you're practicing these things and they're increasing in your life, these aren't just a one-time go-through. When you get down to where you start practicing love, you go back and let's start with moral excellence again. Let's start with knowledge. And it just keeps growing and they're increasing. You won't be useless. You won't be idle. He says, you won't be useless or unfruitful. Does God want you to bear fruit in your life like Him? Some people never bear anything other than themselves. Corruption by lust. See, bearing fruit. You won't be unfruitful. Things in your life will be a benefit for God and for others. That's how you're useful. Continue on. Verse 9. He says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. What if these qualities aren't yours? What if you lack? You know what he calls you? What he calls me, if that's me? You're blind. You can't see past the end. You know, you're short-sighted. Your vision is off. We need to get some glasses and get focused here. You can't even see where you're going and what you're doing in your life. And you know where it all began? You have forgotten what it means to be forgiven of all your sins. People sometimes move along in life so far down and things start cropping up in their life, things that aren't good. And you forget that you've been forgiven and you end up blind. You can't see very far out. How many marriages dissolve because of ungodliness? You ever seen a marriage flourish by being godly? How good is it when you go visit someone that's going through a great trial and they have a wonderful attitude about it? Perseverance, you see it. How encouraging are they? How encouraging are you to them? Should they be seeing those qualities in me and in you? I don't want you to go back and follow your lusts anymore. I've already granted you everything for life, everything for godliness. I've released it. It's yours for the taking. Will you apply these things in your faith? And if salvation, if forgiveness of your sins means so little that you're not going to strive for this, I would be questioning my relationship with God right now. I'd be questioning, am I really walking in a worthy manner? Am I pleasing to Him? Because He's already granted for you to have it all, for me to have it. But if you lack these qualities, you're blind, you're short-sighted, and you've forgotten what it means to be purified from all of your sins. Well, this is vital things. Look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all more diligent, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. God called you through the cross of Christ. God chose you through the gospel. You need to make certain that He did not waste the blood of His Son on my life. No, I need to make certain that I am growing spiritually, that I'm not blind and short-sighted, I'm not useless, but I'm fruitful. And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they'll do you well. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent, verse 10, to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, that's what faith does. Faith practices. You will never stumble. What a statement. Do you have trouble stumbling now? You'll never stumble if you practice these things. If I start supplying moral excellence, doing what's right in all situations, are you going to stumble? If you start gaining knowledge of what God is like because of what I practice, are you going to stumble? If you start practicing some self-control in your life instead of just letting your desires and everything just go free, will you stumble? If you start enduring during difficult situations, persevering, will you stumble? If you start acting godly in your life, in every situation, will you stumble? If you start having brotherly love for those that Jesus died for, will you stumble? If you practice love for all the brethren, will you stumble? These things will keep you from stumbling, keep you from making bad mistakes in your life. He says, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. That's not a misprint. Verse 11, for in this way, what way? Practicing these things, The entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. You want to make sure you make it in the end? Peter says, here I am as a bondservant apostle. I'm going to make sure that everything for you to make it will be abundantly supplied. So when you get to the end of your life, you're there and you'll know you're there. See, that's how you supply and secure your future, by practicing these things. Now, if you're a person that doesn't seem too interested in all of this, I'd be concerned. Peter's writing and trying to get us to see, here's how to grow. Here are the elements in your faith that you need to take hold of, and you need to be striving and practicing these in your life. And the guarantee is at the end, you'll be there. Guaranteed by God. God's already released everything that you need for life and godliness, to share in His divine nature. And by the way, every one of these things that we talked about, every one of them is the exact nature of who God is. That's knowledge of God. You and I need to make sure that that's what we're doing. How are you doing on your growth? Sit down at the house and take your pencil or pen and paper, and you write down all seven elements, and you look at them. See where you are. Well, I just have a hard time with this. Well, where's that on the applying that in your faith? Well, that's way back up here. That's why you haven't gone any further. Because if you don't take those seriously and put some effort into them, you'll stop the whole growth process. And when you don't grow, you die. The other day I was talking with Caleb and Rachel. The baby gained up to 10 pounds just smiling. You know what would have been terrible? Our baby's losing. Something is wrong. You know what's terrible for us being in Christ Jesus, having been forgiven all of our sins, and we're not making any more progress? Ooh, we need progress. We need to take these things seriously. And I pray it helps you to see where you need to go, where I need to go, and what I need to be working on. And I want to encourage you, use these things to your advantage, what God has already granted us, and let's move forward with the Lord.